Thank you to the worship team. Guys, can you just give them a round of applause just to thank them? That was a beautiful, beautiful set this morning, and it just got us to that place of being able to really worship God. And this is what we're here to do, right? Yeah? Well, welcome everyone. Today's message is from Psalm 77. And I've been looking forward to being able to preach this message to you all year, because it's not every day that we get to walk through the Psalms together. So today we will be. And if you're worried about, oh, I don't know what that Psalm's all about, know that it's next to Psalm 76, just before 78. Don't worry, okay? This is all about making the Word accessible to people, okay? So being able to really encourage us to be able to open up the Word, and hopefully in your own time, in your own space with God, to be able to enter it and let His Word minister to you. So, yeah, it's a good opportunity to finally be here to preach this with you, and also want us to welcome the TBC youth who are in service today. Can you give them a round of applause just to acknowledge that they're here? I have a little personal mission to be able to show them that there is something to grasp from sitting in a main service, because they really love being out in the classrooms. They really love having their own space and being taught the Word. But we are also keen to help mature them and prepare them for adulthood when they'll be in service, and this will be the main source for them. So yeah, just keep them in mind. And of course, we also want to keep Pastor Richard in mind, who is still feeling unwell. I've known him for more than 10 years, and I've never known him to get sick or miss a Sunday. But let's keep him in prayer as he continues to recover and feel better. Pastor, if you're at home, we want to see you back on your feet, and hopefully you get your voice back soon. But until then, just keep on resting. So let's start. Psalm 77. Well, it's hard to place Psalm 77 in the story of Israel because there's no specific details that can help us pinpoint it to a particular time or person. Even the superscript is a bit generic. It says, to the choir master and Asaph, which I take to mean choir. Rather than other psalms like Psalm 11 or 51, they say Psalms of David, or Psalm 46, the sons of Korah, whoever they were. What a wicked name for a heavy metal rock band, hey? Sons of Korah. I'm the only one in the room who appreciates heavy metal, I see. But look, I think for context, the main thing we need to know is that it happens after the Exodus from Egypt, okay? So I'm guessing everyone knows about that. So think enslavement, think entrapment, think bondage. Now, the Psalms have been called songs, prayers, praises, laments. Some are easier to read than others, but hopefully today we'll give you a bit more confidence to be able to read it for yourselves. So let's begin. Okay. A cry for help. I cried out to God for help. Kelvin said there'll be crying. There's crying. I cried out to God for help. I told you, Irvin. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. So there's a loneliness to the psalmist. We don't know what caused him to be in such a stressful situation that it was tiring him even just to cry out. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that state before. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in need of help where you have to cry out to the Lord, or a time of stress, a time in search of comfort, perhaps. Last year, I found this psalm very useful and very applicable to me because I found myself in distress. I'd like to introduce a few people in my life, which most of you would know. This is a photo taken last year. From the left, that's my eldest son, Ollie. And in my arms, we have Jonah. And on my right, that's my dad, Patrick, who had just celebrated turning 70 earlier in the year. I was studying part-time at college and trying to complete an assignment that was already overdue. How many people can relate to that? The fear of submitting it and not wanting to submit it, or the fear of asking for an extension or whether you'll get it or not, or the guilt that maybe you don't deserve an extension. I was balancing the family life, trying to deal with the demands of being the fun, playful, and teaching dad, trying not to drop the ball as loving, caring, encouraging husband. I really talked myself up here. A lot of balls in the air to juggle, a lot of expectations to meet. The stress was already up. And I got a text message from my mum. It was along the lines of, "Hi family, I have called an ambulance for dad. He is having pain from shoulder to shoulder, up to the jaws and sweaty. All signs of cardiac." Church, I can tell you honestly, for the next 15 minutes, I was glued to my phone, waiting for the next update. Mum eventually told me that they were waiting for an ambulance to arrive at the house. Would it get there in time? I wondered. What would happen to Dad? Eventually, the ambulance did arrive. The paramedics came out and took him to Sir Charles Gairdner Hospital, and the updates stopped. And I wondered what happens next. So from there, it was a wait and see. I put my overdue assignment on hold, thought that was a bit low priority now. I reached out to a life group for prayer. I told my wife I was okay and I just needed a minute. And I sat at my desk alone for 15 minutes in silence. I couldn't utter a word. And I didn't know what to say. I had one thought after another. What if this is it for Dad? What's going to happen? How's Mum going to be? What about my brothers? One of them's not even in Perth. How would I have the conversation with the grandchildren, Ollie and Jonah? Jonah had just spent the day with Dad. They're besties. What was the last thing I said to Dad today? And did I have any regrets? So my mind was all jumbled. And I know there's some people out there, when they're stressed, they become more talkative. I don't know if you've met people like that. They act like an energizer bunny. They just keep on hopping. But for me, I go quiet. So you can imagine I was in a bit of shock. I became quiet and I was stunned so much that I couldn't even cry. I knew that the shock was going to kick in, or at least had started. So I knew I needed to pray to God. Isn't that what prayer's for? Isn't that what the Psalms of Laments teach us? To pray to God, to seek Him out in our time of need, to come to Him with every ask. So that's what I did. I flicked through my Bible. I looked for a lament and said no to a whole heap of them. no, not that one, not that one. That one's too long. That one's too old. I don't understand it. Don't understand this one. There are a whole heap of psalms that I thought would work, thought would apply, but I didn't understand them. And so then my next thought was maybe I need a song of ascent. So I flicked to the back of the Psalms, book 5. I felt low, so I needed ascending. That was my logic. Thought that maybe that would cheer me up. Well, it didn't. I didn't need cheering up yet. I needed comfort. I needed understanding. I needed words to describe what I was feeling and going through as I contemplated losing my dad. And so I landed on Psalm 77, and I read out that psalm, that first bit, for myself. I read it out, and I knew I wanted to cry out, but I couldn't. I said to God, I want to cry to God for help. I want to cry to God to hear me. I am in distress. I am seeking the Lord right here, right now. But nothing was happening. I didn't feel comforted in that moment till I kept on reading. I remembered who's real. This is what the psalm says. It says, I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. Our God is an unchanging God. With the Psalms, we often see the psalmist look to the past or recall something in the past, especially with Psalms of Thanksgiving. When a testimony is about to be shared, you'll hear a great story of something God has done so that our confidence grows as we remember who He is. But here in verse 3, the psalmist remembers God, and then what happens? He's totally deflated. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. Think of a sigh. Or when you're at your edge and words can't come out, but you let out a sigh. Or murmuring, cries, tears. Sometimes there aren't words for a situation. Sometimes only tears can come out. It says, I meditated and my spirit improved? No. My spirit grew faint. You're getting tired and tired from the situation. So it says, I was too troubled to speak. When I was gathering my thoughts about Dad going to hospital for a heart attack and I was reading this, this is the verse that hit home for me. I was too troubled to speak. And it was the moment when I felt that God's word understood me. Usually it's the other way around. Don't we try to normally figure things out, figure out what the word is saying? Well, here I thought that actually it's understanding me right now. Not by what I was sharing with it, but it knew what was going on inside of me. And since our word comes from God, well then, God knew what was happening inside of me. So suddenly God became a lot more real. And so the psalm keeps on going. We see a treatment here. It says, my heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Can you hear the doubt in the psalmist's mind here? We know from the previous verses that our psalmist is distressed with a troubled faith and deflated spirit. So now comes the treatment. Six questions that all expect a textbook to answer no. But if we don't slow down to contemplate what they're really asking, we would probably miss out on the word ministering to us. So I'll tell you a few of the answers I honestly thought when I was having my moment of distress. It says, will the Lord reject forever? I said, well, that's hard for me to say. Will he never show his favor again? Well, sometimes I see it and sometimes I don't. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Of course not. It's unfailing, right? Has his promise failed for all time? Trick questions, I'll just say no. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Don't be silly. Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Well, I thought his anger was dealt on the cross. I didn't know what I was doing with God. I didn't know what the right answers were to those questions. I didn't know what it all meant. Of course, the answer to each of these questions is no. But there's more to it. Throughout history, God makes promises. There are those he loves and those he rejects. But he makes his promises with the ones he loves. And even though it's always us that breaks our end of the promise, he continues to show mercy and judge righteously. I think the heart of this psalm shows that we, his people, we need his mercy. We need his compassion. We need his unfailing love. We depend on it. And he is reliable. And so in my story with Dad, I appealed to God's mercy, compassion, and love. God was bringing clarity to my thoughts by ministering to my spirit inside and filling my heart with his love. But still, no words coming out. So I kept going. In verse 10 comes the turning point of the psalm. This is what we all hope for as believers. This is where the lament turns to praise. It says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Doesn't this speak of you and me today? When our spirits are low, when we cry out to the Lord, what do? We appeal to him by remembering his name, the Most High. We remember his deeds, the stuff he's done for us in the past. God, you did this for me. I remember that. No one else could have done that. Whatever you remember, I bet he's done a lot more than that. We remember that he makes the miracles possible. We reflect on all the things that he's created that no one else could ever do. It was at this point in the psalm when I remembered that God was a God of rescue. And I was able to utter a few words in a prayer. These words were, I want Dad to live. And just like that, the tears came pouring out. finally what was inside was working its way to the outside. And this wasn't happening because of something I'd done. This was because God was with me. It was messy. I was a mess. Have you ever had a moment when you're crying and trying to speak at the same time where you can start tasting the saltiness from your tears? That was me. But it was exactly where I needed to be. Right there, talking to God, being vulnerable to Him, letting Him turn my sadness into something else. And I felt like I was actually communing with God. And so the psalm ends with this long passage of praise. Praise, praise, and more praise. The evidence that something has changed in our psalmist. No longer about I. From the beginning verses, it is now about you, God. His situation gets swallowed up as he can now speak about God's work. He was once without words, but now he has many. He was once in distress, but now he has clarity. Now he is praising. It says, "Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." When we think of the Israelites escaping from Egypt through the Red Sea, the Israelites didn't see God. They saw God's appointed leaders, Moses and Aaron. They saw God's mighty works as God was the one causing the massive storm and parting the sea. He was making a way. He was rescuing them. What a way to restore our spirit. Even though his footprints weren't seen, they knew God was at work and saving them. For me, even though I couldn't see the condition of my dad, I knew God was at work. And no matter what was going to happen that night, I had so much gratitude in my heart that God would commune with me. And so here's the key to today's message. We're still living in a worldwide pandemic. The flu season's knocking on the door. A lot of families getting sick, a lot of plans being altered and changed at the last minute or even cancelled. Students trying to keep up with NAPLAN tests. Some students preparing for recitals coming up. Parents trying to be, well, parents. There's so much uncertainty out there. Uncertainty for sure. Naturally, you and me, we're going to try and control what we can control. But no matter what happens, whether it's testimonies of miracles or stories of grief and heartache, remember God's works. Remember his deeds. remember to cry out. Remember to cry. And be assured that no matter what, God's Spirit is dwelling in you. He will always be available, always accessible to commune with you. And I trust that above everything, your closeness with Him will grow deeper and deeper. I'm happy to say that my dad survived his heart attack. I'm grateful to God to say that He gave us extra days, weeks, and months. But I also know that this doesn't happen for everyone. And even though his days were extended, there's been more battles after. Battles in his recovery and more health concerns have come about. I don't think the outcome or the result of surviving an encounter like that is what this psalm wants us to focus on. Instead, it's the time we get to spend with God. Our reliance on Him, us depending on Him, that communion with Him, that felt presence of God in that moment. That's what gives us an incredibly real comfort. And so I pray that this real comfort is made known to all of us more than anything. And in closing, let me just read to you a piece of scripture about our Lord Jesus from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 8. It says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent, that means loud or intense, cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Son though He was, He learned obedience from what He suffered." Jesus teaches us the way to go about your times of distress. He teaches us that we have God who hears our prayers. He teaches us that God listens, He really listens, and God answers. And He displays His power every day to cause changes. So let us keep coming to Him with our prayers. Let us not be ashamed or afraid to let Him hear our cries or see our tears, our words or murmurs. Let us keep petitioning to Him to come to our aid, to rescue us. For indeed He does, and He will. God bless you all.